I just changed careers. I didn't retire. As Mr. D said about Windsor, yes, I was over there, gave the last Bible study that we had scheduled over there, and it's great to be over there. You know, it's very easy to get to Windsor. If any of you on the north live near 96, just head east. And when 96 ends, you're right at the Windsor Bridge. Just cross over, and right on the other side is a place for the Bible study. As Mr. D also mentioned about praying for the messages at the feast, I'm working on messages as well. Over at Midland, we must have a little shortage of ministers over there, because I'm scheduled, I have to prepare two sermons, a sermonette. I also have the speaking at the seniors' luncheon over there. So do be praying for us. As he says, we're working on them now. I'm working on three of those right now for Midland. And it is drawing close, because 7 weeks from today is Day of Atonement. So it's not far away. What do you know? Sometimes that is used when we greet one another. Well, what do you know? What are you worth? Have we ever considered the worth of an individual has to do with their knowledge? We, meaning mankind in general, put a dollar value on what someone's knowledge is of a subject. Employers may post an opening, have a position to be filled by a qualified individual, one who has the knowledge of that position. Promotions come about in business when one accumulates more knowledge, and usually the promotion means a pay raise. The accumulation of knowledge starts at birth, and hopefully this is a true saying for each and every one of us. We are never too old to learn. We are never too old to learn. So, how do we come by knowledge? Well, one way is through that protrusion on our face called the nose, smell. Come through knowledge that way. We come conditioned to certain odors. Perfumers constantly trying to encourage us to try their new concoction, you know, out there for fragrance, for romance, or whatever. The nose tells us there's something good in the kitchen, and also the nose alerts us to when time for a diaper change. Another way of gaining knowledge is taste. As a child, many of us did not like spinach. And those of us seniors may recall a taste of medicine back 60-plus years ago. It seemed back then the fouler the taste, the stronger the medicine was to cure us of our ills. Nowadays, they try to sweeten up medicine, so, you know, the child to take it. Taste buds can warn us when something may not be edible anymore, past due. We also gain knowledge from hearing. The soothing song of the morning dove in the evening and then in the morning, you know, pleasant time. Gain knowledge what the weather is. The sound of the waves on a beach, that's soothing to us, giving us knowledge. For those of us who are deer hunters, you know, the snort of a deer out in the brush. Ah, that sounds good. One near. The pleasurable sound of someone performing music. And those of you with a musical ear able to tell if something is tuned properly. For myself, it could be said he cannot carry a tune in the bucket. You know, I don't have an ear for music. Or the words of an instructor we can hear. The ability with your ears to determine the needs of a baby's cry. But the baby is crying, you know, what is the need of that child? And finally, the words of someone saying, I love you. You know, knowledge that way. Another way of gaining knowledge is touch. We are able to determine if something is hot or cold. You know, whether the material is soft to the touch. Do we want to wear a garment made out of a burlap cloth or prefer silk next to our skin? The wonderful touch of a hug, giving a feeling of concern. You know how much concern someone has for us. And we're grateful for the nerve endings in our body to let us know if harm is being done to our body. I just happened to be reading a booklet mentioned about leprosy. The reason people have leprosy is that they've lost nerve endings in that part of the body. And they can damage it. They don't know they've damaged it. You continue damaging that part of the body, eventually the skin or body goes dead. So we can be thankful for these nerves. Now, Jesus Christ also taught knowledge by his example. We daily, as we come in contact with others, are always giving knowledge about ourselves as well. It may be the sound of our voice over the telephone. You know, someone hears our voice. Companies fill positions because of the salesperson's voice. When I used to work for Amoco, when I have to place an order for what was called TBA, tires, batteries, and accessories, whenever I called in the office, there was just this gorgeous voice at the end of that phone. She was there to sell us. Just beautiful communication. You know, what we send through electronic mail communicates what kind of an individual we are. Our physical actions observed by others sends out knowledge with regard to ourselves. You may have heard the expression, what you are, speak so loudly, I can't hear what you are saying. This is taken from a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson. He wrote, quote, do not say things. What you are stands over you the while and thunders so that I cannot hear what you say to the contrary. By our actions, we broadcast how much knowledge we have. Turn with me over to the book of Daniel, chapter 12. We'll read here that at the end time, before the return of Christ, there's going to be a great expansion of knowledge. Daniel, chapter 12. And verse 4. Daniel 12, verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And knowledge definitely is increase. There's abundance of knowledge that man did not have available 300 years ago. Not that it was not there. It's just that we didn't know it was there. We didn't understand in the way of physics, for example. They were undetected. Every day there are more discoveries out there. We even have a field of occupation we call engineering. What are our engineers doing? They're trying to discover more things with the laws of God that are there. They just haven't discovered the use of it. They're searching. For example, in the past month, there just was an airplane. It was solar powered. It flew all the way across the United States, just on solar. So continuing learning, man is. How many of you have seen the PBS program, Earth from Space? A fantastic program. You can go online and you can view it, put out by NOVA. And I saw it since I spoke to you last. It was on PBS. Earth from Space. You know, the second hymn we sang here today talked about the heavens that God declared. In this program, they show that there's about 120 satellites up in space looking down on Earth. Some just stay focused on one point, and others are rotating around the Earth. They have computers on these satellites now. One of those computers has been able to give a diagram of the floor of the oceans, the valleys, the mountains, able to look down, because be able to look through vision that we cannot see with the human eye, but with the gamma rays and x-rays, and whatever, it can view that. They've been able to do that. And it's just fantastic. It's just a beautiful blue orb, a marvel that we're living on. Another part of that program was they talked about the Antarctica. You know, they talk about, you know, warming, global warming, but the Antarctica still is producing a lot of ice. And what's known as summertime down there, it'd be winter up here at the Antarctica, the South Pole, it shrinks down to the size about 1.5 times the United States. During its wintertime up there, when we have summer, it grows to the size of the continent of Africa. And then makes that ice, and then when it goes the other way around, the ice melts. But that ice is so cold in the water, it goes down to the bottom of the ocean floor, and it spreads out from Antarctica. And it sets up all the ocean currents in the whole Earth on this globe. Just because of that deep, cold water, it spreads out, moves the other currents. Fantastic show. Another instance there is that we have the Amazon Basin. Where does it get its nutrients, Amazon Basin? It gets its nutrients from the Sahara Desert. When they have dust storms in the Sahara Desert, it picks up the dust and it moves it roughly 5,000 miles through the air. And then it rains on the Amazon Basin. They're giving the nutrients. So if you get a chance, go online and look at the show. It's just fantastic. And as the speaker's talking, it's interesting. He says, how everything works together. It's just beautiful how everything works together. It's just great about evolution. I'm thinking, you just contradicted yourself. How could it evolve? If everything works together beautifully, you know, there couldn't have been evolution. It all had to come together at once, one time. So God has prepared the heavens and the earth for man, and he's revealing it. You know, scientists can look at that knowledge. They have no excuse. Another way to accumulate knowledge, Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24. No, Proverbs 11 verse 14 first. Proverbs chapter 11. In verse 14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So here, in counseling, we gain knowledge. Chapter 24 and verse 6. As well, we can read. Proverbs 24, verse 6. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. So we read here that we can get knowledge, talking with one another, counseling. But there's another way we can look at what this is referring to, I believe, is by reading books to gain knowledge. It has been said that George Washington... We all do know who George Washington was, don't we? You know, nowadays I'm not sure when I hear what's going on in school, but everyone knows who George Washington is. He was the first president. The first president of the United States only had an equivalent elementary school education. That's what his education was, equivalent. But what he also did, he gained knowledge because he was a reader of books, a voracious reader of books. He gained knowledge that way. That was his counseling, he got. His learning, his knowledge come from reading books. We today have access to knowledge. The public libraries, which most of us here contribute to through our property tax, are available to us. We also have electronic access. You know, we can go in on our search engines and we can type in a word or phrase and lots of information comes up. So we have access to knowledge. My daughter especially is one that uses library and online search engines. We were having trouble recently understanding a new dog we acquired. She went online and looked up information. Then we went to the library, pulled the books out. So I was able to gain information on dealing with our dog. But what about gaining spiritual knowledge about that knowledge? Over here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9 and verse 23. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor let the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. So here God says, let's glory. We want knowledge. We need knowledge to understand him. How loving kindness and judgment. Do we understand what our Heavenly Father is doing here on the earth now at this time? Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11. Matthew 13, verse 11. Here is Christ talking to his disciples with regard for the reason for speaking in parables. Verse 11. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. So here knowledge comes through hearing and seeing, as Christ mentions. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of his people are grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. So here's the reason why Christ was speaking to them in parables. So they would not understand what he was saying. Over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So they didn't have that wisdom, so they went ahead and crucified Christ, as rulers back then. Paul is making reference to the governors, high priests. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So we're able to understand because of God giving us his Spirit. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So we gain spiritual knowledge by God's Spirit working within us. Why continue to accumulate knowledge? Why is it important for us to continually accumulate knowledge? Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Continuing on, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time. He's like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of man are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. We do not know when the curtain will fall on us, as we just read here. It can come any time. You know, something could happen myself. Could be that I wouldn't live out this day. We don't know. We just don't know. But as we read here, once in the grave, there's no more accumulation of knowledge. When we die, the only knowledge we have is what we have up to that point. We do not gain any more knowledge at this time. So why continue to accumulate knowledge? Well, until we die, let's accumulate it. And for the reason, so we can pass on to others now in the remaining days of our lives and to teach in the millennium. That's why we need this knowledge. The last time I spoke here, we read where Christ said he is going to prepare a place for us and return. Back to what I said at the beginning, when employed, we're to fill a position in the business world where needed. We will fill a position when Christ returns to this earth. But he can only put us in that position with the knowledge that we've gained at this time. Recall the scriptures with regard to the talents and pounds in Luke 19. One was to receive 10 cities and another 5 cities to rule over. It had to do with the knowledge these individuals have to rule over 10 or to rule over 5. It does not have to do how well we overcome. We all have to overcome or we will not be in the kingdom. But Christ has to see by our gaining knowledge what he can give us in that position when he returns to this earth. So it's determined by our position, by what we do gain. You know, God the Father, with Jesus Christ his Son, and who is the groom, we know from Scripture, and the church is bride, are trying to provide knowledge for us to teach in the kingdom. Example, church has provided men's club, made it available. Program, growing kids God's ways, and made available and offered. There's been messages on child rearing that I've given here. You know, at the return of Christ, we will not be able to say, I never had the opportunity to learn. sitting here, you've heard messages on Christian living. Opportunities have been given through men's club. And I'm happy to hear that some of you took me up, you know, a few months ago about writing the scriptures out longhand, starting in Genesis. You're gaining knowledge. You're increasing your vault of knowledge to be able to serve in the world tomorrow. That's why we're called, to be able to teach in the world tomorrow when Christ returns. There needs to be the priests to teach people in the world tomorrow. God created the seventh-day Sabbath for us, a day to rest from our pursuit of making a living and spend time with Him to become more knowledgeable of Him, His way of life. It also pictures a time of rest on the earth in the future. Let us take a moment projecting into the future what it will be like when Christ returns. The book says that if Christ would not return, intervene in the world, there would not be any flesh alive. So that's the world He's coming to. The world He's coming to because of war. And we can look at the past. We can look at photos of war and read the stories of war. There are famines when war takes place. Multiple people die because of famine. Our water supply shut off. Even today with wars, we have people fleeing to refugee camps. But some die along the way for want of food and water. They may arrive at a refugee camp and there may not be enough of food or water. Disease breaks out. That's what it'll be like when Christ returns to this earth. There'll be adults there that, well, have lost their mates. There'll be children there who may not have anyone. They've been left all alone, no family members whatsoever. That's the world that Christ and us will return to, that we have to restore at Christ's return. You know, we read about that marriage supper there that we'll have with Christ. I doubt, you know, I don't know how it'll take place, but it will not be long because we have to serve. We have to help humanity. They'll be waiting for us. And God has called us, prepared us to go out and teach. What will you be able to offer? Only what you have knowledge of now. To mankind then, only the knowledge you gain now will you be able to offer. You know, the physical needs that they will need, we can do that. We can supply the physical for them. You know, we'll be able to bless 5 loaves and 3 fish and feed thousands. Same way with clothing. The physical things we'll be able to do. We can bring fresh water, miracle, there at Christ's return. Clean up the environment. And we'll be able to assure the adults and children at night, go ahead, lay down and rest. No one will harm you. And when you wake up in the morning, there'll still be food and water. We'll be here. The challenge will be, though, do we know Proverbs well enough or the rest of the Bible that we can give instruction to adults in preparation for marriage? That is what they're going to need. Physical, like I said, is easy. But working with the mind, working with relationships. Do you know how to give instruction to adults in marriage? Do we know how a husband and wife are interact with one another for a happy marriage? Many of these people that come through that wartime, you know, will not have known what a happy marriage is to be. For example, we have slavery today among peoples. In some areas of the world, the woman, she's nothing. She doesn't even have a name in some societies. Over in Saudi Arabia, a woman is either the wife of a man, gives the man's name, or she may be the mother of a man, or she's the daughter of so-and-so. No name recognition even. But we even have slavery here in the U.S. because you know of marriages in the U.S. where the woman has no say. So do you have the knowledge? Do we have the knowledge that we can help people create good marriages? Do we have the knowledge about growing kids God's way? Do we have the knowledge? Do we understand it? To build a Christian home? There have been messages on Christian living that I've given in the churches that I serve. You've heard them from me here. I've given you messages on fatherhood and what a husband is to do. I've given you messages on a wife and a mother. I've given you messages as well on child rearing. Remember my messages that I gave on having a Christian home, daily family Bible study and prayer. These are things we're going to implement in the world tomorrow. We're working with relationships with people in the world tomorrow. I've recommended books, The Proper Care and Feeding of Marriage, I've recommended for you to get more knowledge. I've also recommended DVD on child rearing, Gather the Family. So I've given you these things. Are you using them? Do you recall those messages I gave you? Not unless you think I'm the only one that's a little agitated about when we hear from time to time saying the church isn't doing enough to give enough. I want to read here. This is an open letter to parents by Mr. Gary Antion. Mr. D sent it out on announcements. That's going back, reading it about a month ago. Reading from the letter from Mr. Antion. As part of the team of educators, we are doing our best to bring various educational issues to the attention of the church membership. We have once again produced feast booklets, which your congregation coordinator will gather requests for and send the requests to us. They will then be distributed to you by the coordinator in your area. We hope to have them in your hands before the Feast of Trumpets. One comment I heard about last year's booklets for the children was that they were not used by some because of lack of interest. We endeavor to provide the material, but it is up to parents to teach your children. Please set aside time at the feast to teach your children about godly principles and about the coming kingdom of God. Your children are precious to you, the church, and most of all, God. Their potential is to be a child of God and His kingdom. One of the great blessings as a parent is to hand over our children to God in baptism. What a blessing for us to know our children may live in eternity in God's kingdom. Please take this responsibility seriously. Regularly spend time teaching your children godly principles and pointing them to their awesome future. Teach them to be successful in life so that they may be successful in all that they do, whether in school or in workforce, whether at home or traveling or at the feast. Remind and teach your children of God's way and His principles. Let's look at the scripture he's quoting here. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourselves, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Continuing on with what Mr. Antion wrote, remember our examples are of major importance in showing our children God's way of life. So please, please, please teach your children to walk in God's way and utilize the resources of the Word of God and any additional literature or information that may be relevant from us for teaching your children. To view resources for parents to use for teaching their children, please go to membersucg.org and click on the Youth tab at the top. May our children always be blessings to our home, to others, and to God. So the church, we have been providing, be giving the opportunity We've offered growing children's God's way. We even had a coordinator set up here in the church. But not enough families are interested in learning it. Maybe it's the age that we're living in. Now we think it should be an easy task. Maybe there's an app out there I can get on child rearing. I can put my child's hand on that app and, oh, he's perfect. I don't have to deal with him. No. There is no knowledge coming along that way or it would be revealed in God's way. It is work to be a parent. You accepted that responsibility as a parent to work on rearing your child. Like I said, we may be living in an area where, you know, we want things instantly. I heard that there's even seniors who are graduating from high school that cannot write cursive anymore. And one of my classmates, talking with her, she got a thank you note from her grandchild. She said it took her grandchild, her granddaughter, half a day to write out the thank you note in cursive. It's a shame. We're digressing. I remember the last place of employment I was at. If somebody was to be employed, it was a party store. They had to come in and do an addition, about 20 items. Because young people nowadays do not know how to add without a calculator in their hand. Truly amazing what is taking place. Why is it so important to have knowledge and continue to grow and to teach? Maybe this will make it a little clearer. Driving a vehicle, for example, learning to drive a vehicle. We had a book work first, most of us. Then came the actual driving under supervision before being licensed. The same pattern applies to a driver getting a pilot's license. You learn to fly a plane. You have an instructor. There's book work to do. How about being licensed in the building trades? Same thing. There's book work. You're under supervision for a while before you get licensed. So here we have the manual on Christian living in front of us, instructing us, preparing us. We need to know how to apply that, so that we can be the teachers in the world tomorrow. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are we hungering and thirsting for righteousness? We want to learn. We read earlier about the increase of knowledge at the end time. So that is one way to know that we're near the end. But I believe that there is something else that is being fulfilled so that we know that we are at the end time. Revelation chapter 3. And verse 14. And to the angel of the church in the Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Could we say, because I have become knowledgeable of so many things, I don't need any more? Christ says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Be zealous, Christ says. Where is the zeal to want to learn more, to be at the Bible studies, to be at church services? Christ saying, where's that zeal? Talking with a few others who've been around 40 plus years. We don't see that zeal that we used to see 40 years ago. Now, sometimes when you're zealous, you can overreact one way or another, but you need zeal. You know, if you have a horse, you want a horse, you know, that's got energy, want some zip. You know, always bring it down. It's like my dogs I have now. The dog I have now. We got this dog out of the pound. His name is Caesar. My wife says we need to change his name to Lazy Bones. Because the dog previously, they were both Jack Russell, was a female, and she was always ready to go, always excited. Let's go, go, go. This fella, you go down ready to let him out, he'll look at you. If he doesn't want to get outside, he'll just lay there in his bed. He doesn't run around outside. You know, there's no way I can pick up the zeal on this dog. You know, the female, with her zip and everything, we could calm her down. And she learned, you know, how to calm down, be settled. But that is what Christ is saying. Get some zeal as a Christian. As we read earlier, once we're in the grave, there's no more knowledge about how to be a priest, a leader in the world tomorrow. So do we really have the desire to serve our fellow man? I do. I got some more zeal last weekend. It was my 50th high school class reunion I went to. There. Talking with them, I do not know how many of them will survive what's coming up, live over into the millennium, but I want to be there to teach them. Because they have gone through the same thing as my class in the past 50 years. Some have been divorced. Some have lost a child. At least four of the gals I know are widows. Two of the fellows are widowers. You know, I know the answer. I know the future of their mates that have died. But they don't. Some of them are still in mourning, just having lost their mate. But I want to be there if they make it. I want to be able to teach them, to help them, teach them about what it is to have a happy marriage and how it can be. I desire to be there. Now, if you do have the knowledge, do you know how to present the knowledge so that there will be a desire to change? The answers are also found in God's Word. You know, are you knowledgeable of the cultures of the world, as I mentioned earlier? Are you going to be there to help? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. Verse 2, a very familiar chapter. I want to look at just one word in there, where we read, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing." So we can have all knowledge, but Paul says, unless we have love, we are nothing. Looking down here at verse 4 now. Love suffers long and is kind. I just want to focus in on this word kind about love. According to Strong, the Greek word means to show oneself useful. That is to act benevolently. That's what it means. Can we be useful? Do we know how to be kind, benevolent? Are we learning that now? Part of love along with knowledge, so we can teach. Now, what I just read to you out of Strong's, where do you think I got that from? I could have went to my Strong's Concordance. But I took knowledge that's been given to us by Mr. D. His midweek Bible studies. I don't know about you, but I'm downloading every one of them. And I have a book listed every week of what he's given us. That come out of one of his midweek Bible studies. Have you been doing that? Have you been taking down, downloading Mr. D's midweek Bible studies? Do you have a reference you can go to look up a subject? It's there. It gives you knowledge. Preparing for the world tomorrow to be a teacher. So we can now be showing that quality of love by being kind, by doing good works that we have knowledge in. Over to Titus now, chapter 2 and verse 1. With regards to being able to give knowledge. Titus 2 and verse 1, with regard to teaching. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, relevant, temperate, sound in faith, and love and patience. Older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. In other words, women, to be knowledgeable, to be able to teach good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. See, women, older women should be able to teach how to have a happy marriage, how to love their husband, how to teach your children. To be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good words and doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and corruptibility. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may not be ashamed, having nothing evil to say against you. So we have instruction here and how to be a teacher, how to be able to give knowledge. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. Isaiah 11, verse 9. Definitely reference to the future. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Will we be there to instruct? Will our name be put there that we help to instruct the earth on this knowledge of peace? Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. Proverbs 2 and verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Read the book. There is knowledge here. So we're encouraged to study. As I said, we're never too old to learn. And remember, we only have a brief span of life. Then the curtain comes down. And there is no knowledge to be found in the grave. May we all continue to have the zeal to grow and to hunger for righteousness.